Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, author of the book PTS Dog, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder and the Service Dog. I hope you're tuning in to listen to enlightening, educational, and informative conversations about life with service dogs and the Americans with Disabilities Act. Thank you for tuning in to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on DV Radio, WDVR. And welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, author of the book PTS Dog, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder and the Service Dog, available at booklocker.com, amazon.com, and barnesandnoble.com. If you choose to use amazon.com, please consider purchasing the book via smile.amazon.com and choosing the DV Farm as your charity of choice. With me today is New York Police Department Detective Roberto Oviedo, and also a United States Marine Corps veteran and a handler of a PTS dog. And Roberto is unique in that he took it upon himself, seeing a deficiency in the education of officers of the New York Police Department, to ensure that officers received some training about the Americans with Disabilities Act and about service dogs so that they could better serve the public when they respond to calls where a service dog might be involved. Roberto, thank you so much for joining me. It's great to have you back. I know you're a very busy man, so thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you for having me back. As you know, I'm a big supporter of your PTS dog book, and I always find time to talk to you and be a part of this program, no matter how busy I am. Thank you for having me again.
Well, I appreciate you being here. We're going to talk today about a sensitive subject, and it's sensitive in a lot of ways, but we're going to try to break it down as educationally as possible, because it's something service dog handlers need to wrap our heads around. This we need to understand so that we can avoid some problems and some issues, so that we can avoid conflict specifically with police officers. So I want to let the audience know we are recording this a week before it's going to air. So it is actually June 29th. It is Pride Month. And Roberto, you're actually tomorrow, we're recording this on Saturday, you're spending 19 hours on Sunday in place protecting the International Pride Festival. Is that what it's called?
It's going to be the World Pride event. It's the first time ever New York City is hosting it. And myself, along with thousands of officers, will be there to ensure the safety of everyone. We support the LGBTQ community, and that's where I'll be tomorrow, so I'm ready.
Okay, so that's what I want to discuss, and I want to talk about these kinds of events, emotions running high, but really, first and foremost, we need to understand why there's a police presence at the Pride Festival. Why is that? Why are the police there?
First and foremost, when you deal with an event of this stature, safety is the utmost importance of why us police officers are there. And of course, you have to look for any type of, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but we have to look for any type of terroristic threats that can happen within that event. When you have a large amount of people like that, it's tempting for these people that want to harm to try to take advantage of that situation.
We're getting into some areas that we may not be able to discuss very fully, but a large event in a large public place like this, whether it's Pride or, hey, next Thursday, 4th of July, you know, a large event like this is a soft target. It's what's considered a soft target. It's an easy place to create the most amount of disruption and destruction possible. Is that not true?
You hit it right on the nail. That's correct. That's true.
Yeah. So the intent of police presence at these kinds of events is simply to try and prevent anything like that from happening. On both sides, at any kind of large event like this, whether it's, you know, Independence Day, a Pride event, a political rally, emotions run high on both sides. The guys in blue, they're keyed up, they're ready to go, and people attending, possibly people protesting, either in support of or against, or trying to shout about something else, and there's just a happens to be an audience, so they come. And emotions run high. I want to ask you, because you've been doing this for a while, you go and help protect at these events. Where's your mindset? What are you telling your guys? What, from the perspective of the people who are wearing the uniform, what's your mindset when you go to this kind of event?
The mindset that I have and the officer that I'm with is, of course, be alert. Watch everyone as they, you know, they go about their day and enjoying themselves. Always remain alert. That's the key. Remain alert. Look at people's hands. Look if they have any backpacks. It's all basically being alert. And that's the mindset. Be alert and focused on your job. Forget about watching anything else. Focus on your job at hand. That's basically my mindset.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, the presence there is specifically to protect the public should someone choose to take the opportunity of a soft target, a large soft target, to do something horrible.
Yes.
And it's, you know, in a lot of ways, this is one of the rare opportunities that police have to prevent crime rather than respond to crime. Is this not true?
That is true. You have to prevent anything from happening with that amount, that scale of a large amount of people. Anything can happen at a moment's notice, man.
Mm-hmm. Now, remember again, this is the PTS Dog Show. So primarily our audience is people who have PTSD. That plays into it. When you choose to attend an event like this, it's going to be big and you're going to be keyed up. And if you use a service dog, your service dog is going to be working really hard because not only are you, you know, on edge and ready to go because you're in a huge crowd, a big event, but your dog's got to do his job while you're present there.
Yes.
And so that's a challenge for your dog. And the reason I want to bring that in is because I want to talk about access for people with disabilities who use service dogs and what things could look like should you encounter police in a less than positive manner. Without revealing any kind of safety issues or anything, talk to me a little bit about bags. Are there bag search stations? Is this a regular thing at a large scale event like this in a major city to do things like bag searches?
Yes, we do it during the ball dropping of New Year's Eve, and especially during tomorrow's World Pride event. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do have bag checks where we screen you before you go into certain zones. And before you go through that zone, you have to have your bag checked. So even if you have a dog, it's not a problem having a dog, whether it's a service dog or not. Just remember, you will be stopped and you will be asked to check your bag. And so you have to be sensitive to those individuals that do have dogs, whether they're service dogs or not.
Right. And the reason I bring it up is because a lot of handlers, when they're out in public, especially in places that are hot, New York City's a cauldron right now, and in end of June, or beginning of July, it's hot, and so you know you got a bag over your shoulder, you got water, water bowl, maybe some treats, some snacks, some food, boots. If you're going to be on pavement, maybe you'll have boots in there, boots for your dog to protect their paws.
Right.
You know, a cooling mat so the dog can lay down when you get to whatever location you want to be to participate in the events. So, you know, and there are a lot of, me personally, I'm a minimalist. I carry as little as possible with Skeeter.
Me too.
I will have, you know, I'll have his collapsible bowl clipped to his leash or his harness, and I'll have a gallon of water with me always in that kind of event in the heat, because he ain't built for the heat. He's built for the cold. So, he's as hydrated as possible. And you know, Layla, your service dog has a double coat too, so I'm sure you've got a lot of concern for heat with her.
Yeah, yes, definitely. She's definitely got her coat. I'm trying to, you know, brush her every day to keep her nice and cool. I take her to the bag, close her down, but Yeah, with dogs like Leda and Skeeter, they can get hot real fast.
Yeah. And you have to be really conscious of that. So absolutely take your bag of gear. We're not saying don't take your bag of gear. However, when you do enter an event like this, understand that they're going to need to check your bags just for the safety. It's, you know, nobody's singling anybody out. Get the one with the dog. That's not what's happening.
Right.
Everybody who has a bag, they try to check and ensure that nobody's trying to bring in anything harmful.
That's the whole goal. That's it. We're not here to single you out. If you do have your service dog, we understand you're going to have a bag for that dog. And just explain it to the officer. You don't have to get disrespectful. You don't have to become, agitated. Just explain the stuff that you have in the bag for your dog.
Mm-hmm. And again, remember, everybody's at a higher level at this event. It's a large event, a lot of people. Personally, when I go to these kinds of events, a large public event, even a small scale, but public event, you know, if there's 20 or 30 people, that's a crowd for me, you know, and you know, so I'm already at a higher level I don't know what you want to call it. Let's make it up a term. We're going to call it DEF CONs. I don't know if you remember in the 80s, the DEF CON edition, you know? So, you know, normal, you're at home and everything's cool. You're at DEF CON 5. You go out to the grocery store. You're at DEF CON 4, maybe up to DEF CON 3. I'm going to go perfect example, concert down at the Pavilion down in Charlotte. I'm already, by the time we pull into the parking lot, I'm at DEF CON 3. And when we go in, depending on how crowded it is and what's going on and how loud the environment is, 3 might become DEF CON 2. Now, DEF CON 1 is meltdown, get your pop smoke, get out. you know, so you're keyed up, you're higher, you're at higher energy. Right. And on the other side of that equation, so are the police, because they're looking for people who want to cause harm. So they're just as vigilant, just as hyper-vigilant, whether they suffer PTSD or not, but they're just as ready. They're ready to respond should the need arise. And
yes.
There's really no indicator. You look for some things, but is there really any one thing aside from when somebody actually takes action that tells you that person is here to do something bad?
Yeah, there really isn't any one thing. It can happen at a moment's notice, and the officer has to make split-second decisions on how to respond to those actions. So my anxiety level tomorrow is going to be up there through the roof. And I wish I had Leda with me, but I know I have my brothers and sisters in blue, which is that's all I need. So, tensions are going to be high tomorrow, correct?
Okay. And the reason I ask this is because I really want to try and put the listener in the shoes of the officers who are there to protect. We need to understand that the cops aren't there to hassle anybody. They're not, regardless of what that individual officer's personal opinions are on the event, for whatever reason it is, whatever kind of event, that doesn't matter if the officer's a professional.
Correct.
What matters is that they are there to try and ensure everybody's safe enjoyment and participation in the event.
That's the goal.
Yes. And what's funny is you don't get to enjoy much of it at all.
No, I'm not paying attention to the event. I'm paying attention to the people in the event and the surrounding and what's going on. You're right. I'm not enjoying it, but I am, I do enjoy what I do. So I'm vigilant, awareness. That's all I'm about when it comes to those type of events.
Now, you're also a Marine Corps veteran. Can you make a comparison to combat?
Oh, yeah, you can absolutely make a comparison. The way we were when we were out there doing out in the field, in the desert, you don't know what's in front of you, especially during the nighttime. You're aware, you're vigilant. You can act at a moment's notice. And that's how I act when I'm out there in those events. I can compare to both. Exactly, yes.
Okay. And I think it's important, again, this is a show about PTSD service dogs, so that's an important parallel there. That leads me to another rabbit trail, but we're going to go down it because here we have not only a veteran of the United States Marine Corps, But now a police officer who, a detective who, is still serving now his city, but has served his country. So is continuing that service. And one of the things I've noticed is veterans can find resources to help and assist with PTSD all day long. How about police officers, first responders in general, first responders?
The thing with us, in the, at least in NYPD, the police commissioner, he's done a fantastic job in offering us resources. We do have resources to cope with any type of PTSD or any, if you're depressed. We have police officers providing peer assistance called PAPA. We have our early intervention unit. We have our NYPD chaplains unit. So there are resources out there. The problem with that is these officers are afraid to reach out for fear that they're going to get in trouble. So that's the mindset. You know, we have an issue at hand, and hopefully, you know, we can correct that, because far too many officers are taking their lives. So I'm hoping we can get that right.
And I'm thankful you brought it up. It's a very sad subject. And my condolences. NYPD in the last 2 weeks has lost 5 officers to suicide.
That's unfortunate. And just, you know, not too long ago, I put a video out of, you know, resources. And since that video, we lost 3 more officers. So it's tough, you know, but there is help out there to us veterans and police officers. So they just got to seek help. Call someone.
Well, and you hit on something I think that's common in the military too. And I'm hoping it's being overcome, but it was certainly common when I was on active duty. You're afraid to reach out. You're afraid to say, I need help, because you're afraid of repercussions.
That's correct.
And look, I'd rather lose my job and be able to live than let things bury me so hard that the option of taking my own life becomes viable.
Right.
You know, rather to survive, be there for your family, you know, and really the help is not there to create a problem for you in your career.
Correct. That's the importance of having a service dog. I'm pretty sure, like Skeeter, both Shala and Layla, I mean, they basically, in a way, they saved my life, you know, because thank God I have them to keep me, you know, grounded.
Yeah. So, and that's a tough subject. Thank you for bringing it up. You know, the whole goal, the whole point of what you do with the NYPD, what I do with PTS Dog is, look, we gotta look at this. We have to be realistic about suicide. We have to be realistic about PTSD. We have to have frank and open discussions about it. We need to take away the stigma. And we need to look at how we can help build each other and be survivors rather than trying to hide it because we're afraid of what people will think.
Yes.
We need frank and open discussions in the police department, in the veteran community, in the firefighter community. You know, and if you think about it, the police and fire, the first responders, all of them, EMTs, you know, anybody who runs into the burning building or into the flying gunfire every day. I mean, think about it. First responders over a 20-year career, especially in a city as major as New York, you're seeing traumatic events at a rate and a consistency that I dare say is as high, if not higher, and as in more frequency than a military member, than a deploying Marine or soldier. What's your thought on that?
I mean, that's absolutely right, Joaquin. I mean, over the period of time in your career, it takes a toll. It takes a toll on your body. It takes a toll on your mind. And you see stuff like that every day. And it's how you cope with those things that, you know, will get you by the rest of your day. But absolutely, the comparison between the military and the police department or any first responder, it takes a toll on both your body and mind.
Mm-hmm. Which brings me back to attending large events, attending festivals. If that's what, you know what, if that's something that's one of your mechanisms to cope is to go and celebrate, that's fantastic. Do it by all means. go celebrate. But understand that you're going to be elevated. The police who are there to protect the event are going to be elevated. So let's have a hypothetical incident. I'm coming in to be bopping into the World Pride event in New York City with Skater. And I got a backpack full of water and the treats and you know, his cooling mat and whatnot over my shoulder. And I'm also heightened, so I may miss the bag check station and kind of, I may inadvertently blow that off. Just walk me through how, as one of the people in charge of ensuring protection, I blow off the bag check.
Okay.
What's your response?
All right. So if you come into an event and then inadvertently, yes, you walk through the bag checker and then you come upon me. Mm-hmm. The first, and you have your dog with you. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to stop you. Of course, I have to stop you because I've just seen you walk past, whether you meant to do it, you know, by accident or not. But I'm going to ask you, sir, you just passed a bag check. I need to see what's in your bag. Mm-hmm. And the issue is not your dog. That's not going to be, I'm going to insist. First of all, I'm going to tell you, why did you walk that bag check? By you walking by that bag check, my alertness is up. My flags are up.
Right.
I'm like, why did this guy just go through a bag check? So be prepared for me to stop you, mm-hmm, and ask you what are the contents of your bag.
Mm-hmm. And here's where we're gonna take this up another notch now.
Okay.
I've got a service dog, and you've stopped me, and I'm set because I'm already elevated, and you're in protection mode. You're elevated. You're upset. Well, not upset. You're not upset yet. but I'm gonna piss you off right now. Okay, I'm gonna say, why are you stopping me? Can't you see I'm disabled? I've got my service dog. What do you think you're doing? Why you gotta hassle me?
All right. Depending on the venue, because you know, if there are certain restrictions for dogs, whether you know they can be let in if they're service dog. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna try to de-escalate, calm everything down, mm-hmm, and just keep letting you know, sir. I understand you're upset. However, I need to check your bag. And in this particular area, let's say this area didn't allow dogs or anything like that.
Right.
I will ask you, it's basically two simple questions that I'll ask you. Is this a service dog? And what task does the dog do to assist you with your disability? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm going to approach you.
Now, let's put a pause on our scenario.
You got it.
The reason that you, an NYPD detective, is going to ask me these questions is because you, specifically, this NYPD detective, made sure that a description of service dogs under the ADA and the questions allowed by the law got into the training documentation for the New York Police Department. But we're not New York. We're in Arkansas. And we're at a country festival, and you're stopping me because I blew past the bag, and you don't have the training, and you don't understand the ADA. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because I want to know, as a police officer, you're saying I need to see some kind of proof about that's a service dog. How should I best respond? Because at this point, any knowledgeable handler is going to go, what?
Yeah.
You just asked me for proof? Right. And we're going to go into the tirade. We're going to start reciting the law.
Right.
Where should I, being knowledgeable, understanding that the officer is not knowledgeable, where should I take this conversation so that I can de-escalate it?
But what you don't want to do is get into some type of confrontation with the officer that stopped you. You don't want to start disrespecting the officer and start yelling at him all the ADA laws. Just very calmly, just tell the officer, listen, I have a condition and this is, I need this dog to help me with my condition.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You don't have to start yelling your condition, whether you have PTSD or whatever disability you have. That's just not going to make things, you know, better for you.
Yeah, that's absolutely a fantastic point. Is look, you know, don't get indignant and start yelling about, well, I've got, you know, I've got the PTSD. First of all, unless you're in a court of law or a doctor's office, that's not relevant to the situation.
No, absolutely not. You don't have to disclose your disability to the officer.
No.
And by yelling at him or her, all you're doing is getting yourself agitated. And if you do have a legitimate service dog, that service dog is going to sense what's going on.
And respond.
And respond accordingly the way that dog has been trained to do. But if you got that dog lunging at the cop and lunging at others, you're going to get kicked out. I'm very sorry. You're going to get kicked out.
Well, because the dog's
What pisses me off, Joaquin, mm-hmm. is these people that love to say, hey, my dog is registered. Here's the card that I got, some bogus card they got from the internet, and they slap a vest on their dog and they label the service dogs. That just pisses me off, and I hate to be upset. And if Layla was here, she'd be calming me down. Mm-hmm. But that does nothing for your cause.
No, not at all. And if you're trying to pull that with an officer who does understand the ADA, I would hope that the officer would have the grace to laugh and just, you know, laugh in their face. Come on, really? We both know that's bogus. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and I'm not saying just start making fun of them, but I'm saying, look, if you genuinely are disabled and have a trained service dog and you don't understand the law and don't understand that those IDs are literally worth less than the paper they're printed on,
right.
That's why I do what I do. That's why education is so important. That's why I make these radio shows, to try to teach people, but you're exactly right. Look, so you stop me. You don't understand that registration is not recognized by the law. You're asking me to prove the dog's, you know, actually a service dog. And you're at an elevator, and at this point in your mind, have I become a potential threat?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
By your actions and your just, and then when you yelling at me and you're getting hyper, remember what you're doing. Others around you are seeing, and then they start congregating. That's creating a hazardous condition.
And at that point, the officer's starting to feel like they're personally endangered.
Correct.
They're drawing a crowd.
Absolutely. And then you're yelling at the officer, disrespecting the officer. What that is not doing anything, because ultimately I'm telling you right now, the officer is going to win this battle.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to win this battle. We're not going to, you know, say, oh, well, okay, we're sorry. You're yelling at me, so it's okay for you to go through. That's just not how it's going to work.
So really, you mean the louder you get doesn't make you any more right when it comes to a confrontation with the police?
That's correct. You can yell till your lungs blow out. Not going to do anything good for you. And I'll just sit there and listen to you yell.
And look, I'm sorry to laugh, but folks, you want to get indignant and raise the, you know, crank the level up a little. You know, ultimately, do you know what you look like? You look like an idiot.
Yeah, totally. And then if I have my body cam, I'm going to activate that body cam to capture that, because I understand what's going to happen is you're going to go away, and a couple of weeks down the line, you're going to try to accuse me of wrongdoing. And then with that body cam footage, I can prove how you acted during that confrontation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, and again, folks, listen, the reason I'm trying to bring this up is education. The police are not there to harm you. However, if they begin to perceive that you may be ready to do harm, they are there to respond.
Correct.
So whether or not the officer understands the ADA and understands the law, that's actually, it doesn't matter at that point. When you start escalating in an already high energy situation, all you're doing is increasing the possibility in that officer's perception. You are just increasing his opinion that there's a possibility of an adverse action of some kind of assault. You know, he doesn't know, because it's still, now remember, the backpack hasn't been checked yet.
That's right.
So he doesn't know what's in that backpack. And you're yelling and screaming, you know. So at this point, absolutely, training kicks in. Hand is on the taser or hand is on the pistol, depending on what the, do you call it rules of engagement?
Yeah, you have to, that's one thing about officers. No one can tell you when to hold your weapon or any of that. There's mm-hmm. no, you know, you do it as you feel you need to do that. If you feel you're being threatened in a way, you can put your hand on your weapon. Nobody said you cannot do that.
Right.
So, yeah, but you know, it's intimidation when we do that. And right away they think, oh, you're going to shoot me. No, we're not. No, we're not. You know, every officer is different. But mm-hmm. you can escalate that by acting the way you are. And then if you are a true handler of a service dog, please know the difference between a service dog and a therapy dog and an emotional service dog. Know the difference before you shout at officers about why you need that dog.
Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, look, when emotions are high anyway, and then emotions get higher, the potential for a dangerous situation is created.
Yes.
Whether you actually intend, as you know, me, I'm trying to go to the festival, you know, whether I intend to cause harm or not, at that point, with both me elevated because I got the PTSD mm-hmm. and you elevated because you're there to protect the crowd and you got somebody who's starting to act aggressive.
Right.
You know. This, unless me, the handler, starts listening to my dog, de-escalating myself, okay, calming down, finding a way to calm down.
Right.
There's only one direction this can go, and it doesn't end well for me.
No, it doesn't.
It would end up in cuffs for me.
I guarantee you, you will be in cuffs if you would confront me like that, Joaquin.
Yeah. And I don't, and I, you know, I thanks for role playing with me about this. I appreciate that you're willing to give the mindset of what the officer's there for, because we don't necessarily always consider that when we set out today. Well, I'm just going to go to the festival with my service dog, you know? So we're not thinking about, well, what if? Whereas you're actually trained and there specifically to respond to what if.
Exactly. We want you to have a good time. You can bring your service dog. You have to comply. And the more you don't comply and the more hype you get, the worse it's going to be for you. I can guarantee you that.
You're listening to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on DV Radio, WDVR. I'd like to remind you real quick that there are many shows produced by veterans on DV Radio. One that is an absolute kick in the pants is Honorable Discharge with Ron Ripley. Air Force veteran Ron Ripley is a professional comedian. That airs on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern. And if you want to listen to a show that will make you do spit takes the entire time, check out Honorable Discharge, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. here on DVRadio.net, WDVR. Ron is a kick in the pants. He has some great guests on. I've met the man. And when you can get a word in edgewise with him, it's quite a good conversation. And his shows are like that. I am here again with Detective Roberto Oviedo of the New York Police Department. And Roberto, thank you so much. I can't tell you how much it means to be able to speak to a member, not only of the veteran community, but of the police community, and get these kinds of issues out into the open. Because the general public, unless they have contact or training, the general public doesn't really think about it this way. We understand the cops are there and whatever, here, check my bag, right? And they're not thinking about, well, here's why Detective Oviedo is here, you know? Here's why there's 1,300 police officers in the streets at choke points in different locations around New York City for the International Pride event.
That's yes. right. It's all about safety, to ensure the safety of the public and for you to have a good time. But we're there for just make sure you have a good time, but we're there for safety. We're here to make sure you enjoy the event and nothing happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So back into our situation. Okay, I've decided that I need to de-escalate because I realize, well, no, actually, you know what? Let's play this out a little bit. Let's say, because I got the PTSD, and that fight or flight response kicks in, and I'm a fighter.
Okay.
So obviously, I'm going to end up face down, knee in my back, cuffs on my wrists.
I guarantee you, Joaquin, you will be on the floor with me.
What happens to my dog?
You will be placed into the custody. Your dog, of course, we never want to separate the handler from the dog. So the dog will accompany you back to the precinct. If, like I said, we will hold your dog for you. That's not going to be an issue.
Okay. In New York,
mm-hmm.
in New York City, actually, okay? I want to make that distinction because, remember, our parenthetical is in Arkansas. Well, I don't know what the understanding of the police in Arkansas are. So I guess what I'm getting at is there potential that the dog would be removed to, say, animal control?
The only way that will be done, if you cannot provide me with a name of someone that can pick up your dog. Anyone, your wife, your brother, anyone. If we can't find anyone, your dog will go into, yes, correct, animal control.
Okay. So basically, I do lose it. I lash out. You put me on my face. I physically, you know, I swung at you. So obviously, at that point, I have committed a crime.
Yeah. So in other words, no ticket for you. You're going through the system.
Right. Okay. And I'm visiting New York, and I don't know anybody, so there's nobody that can come get Skeeter. Okay, and this, folks, remember now, we're talking in hypothetical situations here. We're walking through what could happen should you get into an altercation with the police, because we want you to understand the position that you are putting yourself and your service dog in.
Yes, and I hate to say that, but you will... Not only will you go through the booking process, but look at what you just did to your dog. Your dog will be placed in animal control. Mm-hmm. Now, how are you going to get that dog back? It's another story. But because of your actions, you put your dog in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, this, you know, it just occurred to me that it sounds like we're saying don't go to events. We're not.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We're not saying
absolutely. That. Absolutely. Go celebrate. Go participate. Go listen to the music. Go do whatever it is you do. That's, you know, look, your service dog by your side enables you to be able to participate in these kinds of events. Remember when you didn't have your service dog and you never left your house?
That's right.
You know, here you are. You're going to this big event in New York City, and it's or you know, it's somewhere in the Ozark Mountains in Kentucky.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Here you are. You're actually out there. You're going. But when you're doing that, when you're going, think about how you comport yourself, how you behave.
Right. That's all it's about. Know how you're going to act. Because expect these officers not to know the ADA. So just be ready
to
be challenged and be ready to explain the ADA to the officer. Simple as that.
Calmly.
You don't have to get aggressive. I know a lot of officers don't know about the ADA laws and they don't know about service dogs, but just expect it and just be ready. That's it.
Well, and you know, and you handle a service dog and you're off duty hours, you've got Layla. And you know this, the education out there is terrible. People don't know the law. Business owners, restaurant owners, you know, store managers, people don't understand the law. And I have some ideas on how to solve the issue as far as education of businesses. We're not going to get into that, but for whatever reason, the ADA and the Department of Justice have not effectively been able to produce educational materials to businesses in such a way that they understand both what the handler's rights are,
right.
But then on the other side of that, what the business's rights are, because the ADA does absolutely provide rights to the business. No matter how, you know what, you can, what, no matter what your disability is, and no matter how much training your dog has, if your dog is out of control and you can't get it back into control, guess what? The restaurant has a right, or the business has a right, to ask that you remove the dog. They can't tell you that you can't receive services, but they can ask that the dog be removed because it's out of control or it's not housebroken.
Yeah, they're well within their right to do so.
Absolutely. And is it embarrassing? Is it enraging? Is it just absolutely, oh my God, I want somebody to die over this. Absolutely it is. It is.
Right.
It really is frustrating. Okay. And I'm sure you've been denied access. I know I've been denied access. And the challenge can, especially when you're brave enough and you've progressed far enough that you're to the point where you're going to get up and load up the dog and go out to an event or go to a business, you know, go to a restaurant or a movie. And then somebody who doesn't understand the law tells you no. That moment is enraging.
It's so stressed where I can't tell you how I want to rip the guy's head off.
For lack of a better term,
right?
That's triggering right there. You are at that point triggered. If you're not, you're zen.
Right. Yeah.
I think I'm finally to the point where I've got more zen and I can handle it and I can educate calmly. And if they refuse to listen, I know enough now to know to just turn around and leave.
That's it. Walk away.
Take down their information, get who it is, so that I can report it through the proper channels. But we're at this big event, and I am now enraged. And office and Detective Oviedo is not letting me in, and he's asking me for my registration card. I'm going to get my cell phone out, start recording.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's, I think, probably the most important point of this entire discussion, especially at a large, emotionally charged event such as Pride festivals have the potential to be.
Yes.
Should you, either in real time or close to real time during the event, decide to splash this kind of an access issue all over social media?
It's not a good idea to just start doing that right away.
At all?
It's not a good idea. Because it's gonna, if you are wrong, the whole social media world's gonna see how dumb you are in your actions. And you're not doing anything good to legitimate service handlers who have legitimate service dogs. Mm-hmm. You might want to take the time to wait before you start splashing this all over social media. Not a good idea.
Well, not only that, but say something like this occurs tomorrow at the event. Now, remember, folks, we're recording this the day before the International Pride event in New York City. You're going to hear it a week later. So this is already going to be past tense. So this is all conjecture. This is all hypothetical. Something happens tomorrow. You know, for whatever reason, you've got an officer who doesn't understand the law. He didn't read that chapter or whatever.
Right.
And he's asking for ID for the dog, and the handler's escalating, and the phone comes out, and that handler is live streaming from the corner of wherever, you know, down on Broad Street or, you know, Broadway or wherever, you know, Times Square, from Times Square on the east side, and live streaming this officer doing this. And the officer's name is right there on his badge or hers. And it's going to social media, and this person has 300 followers, and one of them shares it to my group, to the PTS Dog page, who has 13,000 followers, some of whom are in New York City, and some of whom could potentially be of the activism persuasion,
mm-hmm.
want to go out and make a point. At this point, an individual officer in a specific location has been identified. Where now, speaking as the detective who's you know, I'm sure in a position where you've got some people under you, you're in charge of you know, this area or whatever. Right. What are your thoughts now when that's going on live on social media during the event, high stress situation, high potential for danger, and now that officer's getting splashed everywhere on social media, real time or close to real time?
Yes. Now you see what that's doing. That's putting me in a situation because now she's targeting me and she's putting it out there for the whole world to see, hey, this detective is giving me a hard time because he doesn't want to let my service dog in. So the potential of more crowds gathering and more riot, the potential riot escalating, you just put a small situation. You just made that situation huge. Mm-hmm. Not doing any good to yourself or to the, your fellow community by doing what you just did. It's going to make my level go up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Now you're definitely in the ThreatCon 4 or, ThreatCon 2, I mean.
Right.
Which is right before explosion, right? It's right before somebody ends up on their face with cuffs getting put on them.
Yeah. Now the world's going to see my actions. Okay, officer, what are you going to do next?
Yeah. And that's a big, you know what? And that's a tough, I bet you have training. I'm certain some kind of a similar scenario is a training scenario that you guys deal with. Because especially in the world today with social media, the camera comes out and there's the question, okay, officer, what are you going to do now? Because at that point, the potential for an extremely dangerous situation has increased. And the only way to measure the multitude of the increase of that potential is after the fact, when you see how many people viewed it, how many social media hits were, how many responses, how many people said, we got to go down there right now. And you've created the exact kind of situation that the officer is there to prevent.
Exactly. I couldn't have said that better myself. Because, you know, I'm going to call my backup.
Yeah.
So you're going to see more police presence.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to be elevated and see where this just builds and builds and builds and builds. And before you know it, a misunderstanding due to miseducation becomes a riot.
Could have been prevented.
Absolutely could have been prevented. How? Walk away.
Very simple. If you don't like the way you were treated,
away.
Not a problem. You know that you got the officer's name.
Yeah.
There's ways
to do it.
Not
his badge number, right?
Yeah, there's ways to do it. You got the guy's name. You got his badge number or my badge number. You could file a complaint on me. That's your right to do so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and with the technology today, look, the police officers investigating the complaint will look at your social media feed. And they'll look at the officer's body cam feed.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
There's video there. It exists.
That's what I don't understand. Yes, there is video, gentlemen and ladies. You are being recorded.
Yep. And you're recording.
And you're recording yourself acting a fool.
And if you're blasting it on social media, and here's the, and like I said, this is the most important point of this conversation is look at that point, you are creating backlash. You are creating social uproar. You're creating anger. You're creating responses. But guess what? That backlash, that uproar, and those responses go both ways.
Yes.
People say, fuck the police, and they get mad at stupid fucking cops, rah, 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 right?
All the time I hear it.
But on the other side of that coin is the people go, well, if you can't go anywhere without your dog, you should just fucking stay home. You stupid fucking people are just driving me crazy, you know? And you start getting the hateful ableist responses directed right back at you. And it actually undermines so much of the work that people like Detective Roberto Oviedo of the New York Police Department and myself are doing to try to educate people positively about what a service dog is and what it does for its handler. And I mean, this is my life's mission. And in 3 minutes of video and three paragraphs of indignant all caps writing, you have just undone months of work trying to educate people by creating an image. And look, when you start really looking at and reading some of the negative commentary, some of the negative commentary I receive in public with my service dog in person. This ignorance actually, I mean, these people are so entitled in their ignorance as to say it to my face. You know, you're creating this negative image of service dog handlers and blasting it publicly. As much as you're creating this negative image of the police officers, you're doing just the same thing for service dog handlers.
Yes, you are. And it's just a shame that that's the truth. You're not doing any good to yourself or to the community at large.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing is, well, I want to educate. I'm trying to do this to educate, but what are you teaching them? Listen to your tone of voice. Listen to what you're saying. Listen to how you're saying it and to whom.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, detective, I understand that you may not know this, but I'd like to talk to you and I'd like to show you the Americans with Disabilities Act. Let me pull out my phone and I'm going to pull up the government website. And they have this great little document. It's the questions, the frequently asked questions about service dogs. This is federal law. Would you mind reading it?
Yeah, I appreciate you showing that to me. Yeah. Let me see what's that all about.
Yeah. Okay. You asked me for a registration card for my service dog, and that's actually not required or recognized by law. Here, let me show you. It's on question 17.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I appreciate you showing me this. I had no idea.
Yeah. See how, look, I chose in our little hypothetical situation, I chose to stop, step back a little. Think maybe this officer just does not know. So instead of yelling at him and getting in his face, I'm going to try to be reasonable with him. Because, you know, first of all, look, he stopped me because I blew through the bag check. So, hey, but first, officer, before we look at that and we talk about the service dog, here, look, here's check out my bag. I've got water for him. Here's his cooling mat. There's some boots down there for his feet. And I got his dinner because we're going to probably be here until 9 or 10 at night. So I want to make sure he has the chance to eat his food.
Do you mind? Okay.
Check it out. See? And then, so you check my bag. Okay. So that part of the problem's over.
Exactly. Now, the main problem. Correct.
Yeah. The main problem is over. Okay. Now, hey, look, let me explain the law to you. You may not understand this because it's a federal law and it's a civil law. So you don't get involved in that a lot because police can't enforce the civil law. So here, but here it is, because you should know. And if you want, I'd really love to come and talk to your police department and teach you about this law. I think it would be a great opportunity for you to learn about service dogs and for me to share with your community.
That's fantastic. This scenario is going exactly how I would have loved it to go.
See how, and that's what I'm, but see, that's the thing. Look,
perfect.
We have a choice. Every time we have an interaction with another person regarding our service dog, we have a choice. And I admit, I've got the PTSD. I understand there are days when you come at me and start asking me questions about my dog, and I'm going to tell you to pack sand.
Right.
There are those days. That's part of the disability of PTSD, is that some days you can't people. I get it. Okay. But if you're having the kind of day where you can take advantage of the opportunity to educate, I'm not going to tell you you have the obligation. You do not. But you have the opportunity to make the decision to share a little bit of knowledge with the person. Look, it happened to me today, waiting in line to buy some breakfast at we have this gas station chain that has a kitchen inside, and they're actually not bad. So I'm waiting in line to buy breakfast and with Skeeter and a gentleman. I mean, there's a 100-pound dog right next to me in the restaurant. So, of course, he's going to ask questions.
Right.
You know, we're 8 inches away from him, waiting in line, nut to butt, you know. So I had the choice. And I was having a decent morning. I was going out to see my brother, who wasn't having a decent morning and needed some Skeeter time, you know. And I had the choice. And I was able to peaceably educate, share a little knowledge with him. And it wasn't an in-depth conversation. I mean, we talked to each other for 90 seconds, but I had the choice to be a dick or to just share,
or to educate, share
a little knowledge. We all have that choice. And yes, absolutely. There are days when you cannot. I get it.
Right.
I have those days too. I am not always on my game and educating and slinging business cards and, you know.
Yeah.
If I was that good, I wouldn't need Skeeter anymore.
I hear you, my friend.
You know, but
remember, your actions determines what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Right? Remember that.
Yeah, and absolutely. And especially when you're in a situation such as a large festival, millions of people in New York City, millions, thousands of police officers, the potential for disaster far outweighs, in my mind, the potential for creating a disastrous situation is far outweighs the potential of me having just a crappy day because I couldn't get in because the officer didn't understand and leaving.
Right.
Yeah, it sucks. I missed the festival. Oh, well. Yep. But look, I've got the officer's card. I've got his badge number. I know his precinct, and I can make a call, and I can explain what happened after I've calmed down.
Yes.
And it can be addressed through the appropriate channels. I'm not out for his badge. I just don't want him to do it to the next guy.
That's all.
Yeah. And that's, look, if we don't peaceably stand up for our rights and educate people peacefully, peaceably. Right.
Comply. Please comply.
Yeah. Just don't go totally. Yeah, you've got the PTSD and you're ready to go. You go toe-to-toe with the cop because you're triggered, you're at that stage, he's going to win.
You're going to lose. I'm telling you right now, you're going to lose.
And the repercussions could think about how much time you've spent training your dog. To have that kind of situation where you are at that point in the dog's perception in danger. Look, Skeeter is not trained to protect me. However, I'm the leader of Skeeter's pack. And if Roberto here puts his hands on me, there is a distinct danger, although he is trained not to react, there's a distinct danger because he's still a dog that he perceives now that Roberto is a threat and is attacking me. And I'm his pack leader, so he's going to defend me.
Yes.
And at that point, he gets shot.
Unfortunately.
Attacking
right.
A police officer.
Correct.
Don't put your, look, forget about yourself. Forget about your indignation. Don't put your dog at risk.
No, please don't do that.
Because no matter how well they're trained, they're still dogs. And I don't care who you are. When you're at that stage where you're triggered, you're not in your right mind. And you aren't thinking about telling your dog to stand down.
Right. He is a dog. I love when people say, oh, he doesn't bite. All dogs bite. Stop it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can say that to people with Layla, but Layla will bite. She'll bite you.
Yeah. But, if I'm attacking you, I absolutely expect to get bitten.
She's going to bite you.
Yeah. And remember, we're talking about a dog's perception of an attack, not right. mine or right. yours. And that's different than a human perception of an attack. Well, you know, I am very grateful to have you on the show again. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. Folks, this is Detective Roberto Oviedo of the New York Police Department, who took it upon himself to train the entire department to make sure that every police officer in New York City understands the ADA and the two questions so that when they are called for an access disagreement, they can respond appropriately. Man, that's heroic. That is a huge step forward for the service dog community in a major city. And I thank you very much for that. Thank you for joining me for the show.
Well, I appreciate it. Always a pleasure to join you, Joaquin. Always a pleasure.
You have been listening to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on DV Radio, WDVR. DV Radio is a place where veterans can be veterans live on pre-recorded shows such as this and via podcast free of charge for you, the listener. Although the laughs and music are free for you, it costs us. Please help ensure that veterans' voices are heard uncensored by sponsoring DV Radio. You can check out DV Radio LLC at www.patreon.com/DVRadio or by clicking on the Patreon button at dvradio.net. You can find out more about sponsoring an individual show or program by emailing info@dvradio.net. Please help ensure that veterans' voices continue to be heard. This has been Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I am your host, Joaquin Watai. Thank you for joining us. DV Radio.